Hello and welcome to KETR's Locker Room for the week of May 14th to the 17th. I'm Cooper Welch, and I've got two special guest hosts with me today since both Taylor Phelps and Ryan Bilps are out of town. It's KETR staff members Kevin Jeffries and Mark Hazlett. It's a great pleasure to have them on. We're going to get a little bit different view on sports today because they're a lot more involved in other sports that we don't really talk about, like hockey and maybe a little more baseball than we're used to. So we're going to get a lot of good discussion today. First, we're going to talk about three big questions that's going on in the sports world today. Tony Romo is getting more responsibility in the game plan making for the Cowboys. Mark Cuban wants fans to decide the next jersey for the Mavericks in the 2015-2016 season. And the Sacramento Kings are still up for sale. They could go to Seattle or stay in Sacramento. We'll also talk NBA playoffs and then finish up the show with a brief stint on the Texas Rangers and what all is happening in baseball. And then we're going to try to throw in some hockey so Mark can talk about something he really knows. First, though, I wanted to briefly mention that there are 34 A&M Commerce athletes that graduated in this most recent graduation that happened on Saturday, May 11th. And we just wanted to mention them and honor them real quickly. There's all sorts of people that graduated in a 2013 class, but we wanted to briefly mention them because this is a sports show. So I'm just going to read off their names. Brianna Anderson Burton graduated, Esteban Areola, Ronald Balthazar, Catherine Beach, Starisha Childs, James Conyers, Andrew Davis, Marcus Four, Marcus French, Yogi Gallegos, Jamie Harris, Ross Hicks, Zach Jones, Alex Kemp, Jakisa King, Maya Love, Morgan Moeller, Aisha Moultrie, Adule Nadoy, Gabe Randy, Haley Richburg, Rachel Robertson, Morgan Saxon, Stephanie Scott, Ortavius Simmons, Chelsea Simonton, Jennifer Spear, Desiree Spencer, Marlon Terrell, Pablo Vasquez, Trishelle Walters, Jessica Wilson, Connor Wise, and Robert Wolf. Those are the 34 athletes and A&M Commerce dance team members that graduated this spring 2013.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to them.
Woo. Hey, and Cooper, before we get started, I want to mention something real quick. The other guys better be careful because Mark and I have come off the bench. Because they might lose their job.
Right.
This is
right.
The world of sports. When you get your chance, you better try to shine now.
That's this right. Is the big leagues.
I'm probably not going to shine today, but it's all right.
Well, you can never tell when the veterans come off the bench and, you know, maybe the kid's going to be riding the pine for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's we'll possible.
Yeah. And we are expecting Taylor Phelps at least to be gone for another 2 weeks because he's not coming back until summer classes start.
Okay.
So maybe we'll get a veteran player in there for the next few weeks, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's get into the first big question for this week's show. What do you think of Tony Romo getting more responsibility in creating the game plans for the Cowboys?
Now, see, this is a top. Now, I'm an expert on all things that are important.
Okay?
So if I don't know very much about it, it's not that important. Just want to throw that out there right up front.
Okay.
But this one I like. I was hearing some stuff about. They haven't decided, the Cowboys haven't decided who actually will be calling the plays. It's been Jason Garrett, and but at the end of last season, Jerry Jones was like, you know, they got rid of Ryan, and get a new defensive coordinator in, and then they were saying, we're looking at, you know, maybe getting somebody else to call the plays, you know, and that kind of sent ripples through Cowboys Nation, and like, oh no, Jason Garrett not going to call the plays. Of course, a lot of people probably rejoicing at that point as well.
I was.
But yeah, I think that kind of traditional way they do it can work a lot. In essence, you kind of go with the game plan. The head coach needs to have veto power. Be thinking about other things, but not be tied down in the minutia. Mm-hmm. And some things you see it may have affected last season, the Cowboys, were a bad clock management. Things like that, where they're discussing and talking too much. The head coach has other things to think about. He needs to get a play in there. There's probably several good ones that they'd all be on the same page about. And so to think exclusively about that and get the play in is important, and then the head coach can, you know, do what the head coach does and veto that, or he can go, I want to run play here, or give me this, and then they the offense coordinator decides which one is going to be the best one to run. what I was hearing, and they don't have who will be the play caller for the Cowboys yet. They haven't named that yet. But if you look at last year, a lot of times when they were coming from behind, the Cowboys, they had lost a lead all too often and trying to come back from behind. They were running that hurry-up offense. A lot of times the most success that you saw was from that hurry-up offense. Mm-hmm. Now, that's where I'd like to see Romo have more ability, more call on the field to kind of move into that hurry up, to see things, to do it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I kind of would prefer that he not be involved so much in the play calling. I think Tony Romo is a guy who plays best by instinct.
Okay.
So the hurry up offense gets him in a method where he's playing by instinct, where he's seeing things, he's playing by instinct, he's flushed out of the pocket, he's great on the run, he's great at avoiding pressure, and he's great at finding guys that are open in that situation. But it seems like if he has to stop and think too much about it, then it all goes to crap. You know, it just kind of all falls apart. So I'd like to see him be able to move into that hurry up of his own accord if he sees certain things in the defense, mm-hmm. kind of the same way Peyton Manning or Tom Brady does. As they go, oh, they have that defensive personnel out there? We're going to eat them up right now. Give him that. But as far as, you know, kind of designing the plays themselves, having input on the play, again, takes too much time. Just have one guy call that, and that's his focus,
right.
And then Romo go out there and do it. If you look at the 90s Cowboys, Aikman, so accurate, you could just say, and the timing offense that they had, and of course the protection he had allowed a lot of this, which you don't have in today's Cowboys, but he didn't have the ability to call an audible. This is Troy freaking Aikman, and Jimmy Johnson was like, no, you're not calling audibles, just make it happen.
I bet you it did happen a time or two, though.
Yeah, maybe. Or they just failed to play. You know, he just goes, oh, they're blitzing, but I can't audible, so I'll just go down. You know, and that was concussion.
And that's why I got a concussion. Yeah,
that was concussion number 3, 4, and 5. But if you see that, I would like to see more of that with Romo, is where I think that Peyton Manning has changed the way quarterbacks play the game and the way coaches want their quarterbacks to play the game. And not for every quarterback is that going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I think for players like Tony Romo that are sort of in that Brett Favre impromptu type of school, it's best if they have a set play. And then when everything goes to crap, that's when they shine. But yeah. They don't concentrate on the blocking assignments. We have, hopefully, our new center is supposed to be a brilliant, brilliant man. And if you look back to the 90s, Stepnoski, an undersized center, but very smart, he called the blocking assignments for the line, not Troy. I think it would be, I would like to see that. We'd like to see Romo just do what he's told to do, and if he sees weaknesses, be able to take advantage.
Right.
And add into the fact, I'd like to see Dez Bryant play the same way. You go, Dez, go deep, you know. Dez Bryant needs to play backyard football, and that's how he'll be best. When he's supposed to make certain decisions on the fly, he's not making the good ones.
Yeah, that's very true. And we see that not just with his football, but, you know, real life decisions as well, whether it's fights with his mother or drug use or whatever is going on.
Wearing his pants too low.
Yeah.
Or rather, not pulling them off when he was asked, I think, was probably the real problem.
Yeah. So just definitely decision-making, I think, is the big question for the Cowboys in this next 2013 season. You have any weigh-ins on this?
Yeah, I think that what Kevin said was pretty accurate. I'm not a Jason Garrett fan, so anything mm-hmm. that reduces his impact on the team, I'm a fan of. You know, nothing against the guy personally. I just don't think I just don't like him as a head coach. And I agree that Romo also is definitely at his best when he's operating from instinct. I think that you need to have somebody else actually designing what your plays are going to be in the various situations, but allowing him a little leeway, because the guys on the field are always going to know something that people who aren't on the field don't know.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I think that's good. I just, the only thing I would want to add that we haven't mentioned is not to get too carried away with who's allocated which responsibilities being what affects the outcomes, because the fact of the matter is that the Cowboys don't have a very good offensive line that's going to affect their play calling. They hardly ran the ball at all last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I mean, if you're trying to bake a cake and all you have is sawdust and sweet and low, you know, you can go through any different number of steps trying to put it together. But fact of the matter is that what you're going to come up with is influenced by what you have to start with.
That's so true.
That's the problem with the Cowboys.
It's I think I got one of those cakes for a birthday one year.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Well, just real quick, what do you guys think of Jason Garrett's chances to stay on as the coach after this season?
Well, I'm not sure I agree completely with Mark about Jason Garrett being a head coach. I think a lot of what you get, I mean, maybe defining some duties differently, we'll see. But the last couple of drafts at the time, I know this last draft, Cowboys, I was not happy with it. But the last couple of drafts you see, and I think maybe some of this was Jerry Jones learning some from Bill Parcells, what he could get when he let the football guys make the football decisions. And don't get me wrong, I do think Jerry Jones was a football guy. He played college ball. He's been in football for a long time. He knows some stuff. But, you know, I'll just throw that name Quincy Carter out there and go, sometimes you need to let a guy like Bill Parcells make the decisions, you know, the player personnel. And in retrospect, we've had some pretty good drafts over the last 3 or 4 years. When you look at the players we've gotten and what rounds we got them in, they've been pretty good. So I'm holding out hope for this draft this year, although I'm not happy with it right now. But hopefully in 2 years I can look back and go, well, that center's a Hall of Famer, and that's the Jason Witten heir apparent tight end. And
yeah,
hopefully I can say these things, so I'll reserve a little judgment. So maybe in that aspect, Jason Garrett is a little better, but let's get some of the responsibilities, the game time responsibilities off his shoulders and let those fall to somebody else. Because I tell you what, it drives me crazy when one of the only things I like about the Eagles under Andy Reid, the only things I hate the Eagles, okay?
Yeah,
diehard Cowboys fan.
Anybody in Dallas does.
Yeah. But one of the things I truly liked about the Eagles was their horrendous clock management skills.
Yeah, that was
wonderful.
That was pretty amusing, really.
It was wonderful. Yeah. Never won challenges, could not manage the clock, worth spit, and it was a beautiful thing to watch. Part of that's having too much on the head coach, thinking about too much. Head coach got to make those decisions. And I think hopefully moving some of that off of Jason Garrett's plate will help him a little bit. And then, like you said, maybe the center with the offensive line help. If they can start winning games, then that cures everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have any idea about Garrett's chances at the end of this next season. I really think that it will be based on criteria within Jones's head more than anything going on in reality. I really think
and that's a scary place to be.
It's a scary place to be. You know, it's too bad Jason Garrett isn't a football stadium, because otherwise I think Jones would probably be a lot better at managing the situation.
Yeah.
He's a lot better at marketing than he is building a football team. So I don't have any idea. I mean, you know, on one hand, I'm not a Garrett fan and I'd like to see them bring somebody else in. But I mean, as long as Jones is there, who are they going to bring in?
Yeah.
You know, who are they going to bring in? What's he going to be able to do? So it's just, I'm taking the attitude that sadly many Cowboys fans have. It's just low expectations at this point.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next topic of the day. Mark Cuban wants fans to design the next jersey for the Dallas Mavericks, which would roll out in the 2015-2016 season. What do you think of this crowdsourcing, as Cuban dubbed it?
You know, I was thinking about this, Mark, and at first I was kind of like, well, that seems a little weird. But then have you seen some of the uniforms professional sports teams have come up with over the last couple of years? I'm going, okay, maybe this is a good idea after all. Let's get the fans involved in this. There'll be a vote. You're guaranteed that you're at least going to have a portion of them like the uniform. And unlike the Cowboys uniforms, there's nothing truly, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing truly sacred about the Mavericks uniforms.
Yeah.
They have changed over the years, different colors, different mixes of the colors, their traditional colors. So if there's nothing sacred about the uniform, I guess why not? Could be fun.
Yeah, sure. I don't, if I understand correctly, I don't think he's doing a full graphic makeover. I think that they're going to keep the logo, and I'm sure they're going to keep the blue. They'll probably bring the green back,
which I think a lot of fans would like.
Well, those fans who suffered through the 80s and everything, and remember Derek Harper dribbling as the clock ran out against the Lakers in that playoff game and all the other things. There are some good times, too.
You know,
I love Rolando Blackman, some great times in that era. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to see new colors. I think the logo is still the same, and it'll be just different jerseys.
Right.
And as Kevin mentioned, we're seeing some really ugly gear being rolled out by Nike and some other people these days. So I think the fans doing it would be fine. I kind of think maybe either having like a contemporary regular home and road set with maybe sort of a throwback alternate would be mm-hmm. kind of cool. I'd like that. But as far as crowdsourcing, you know, lots of people are saying that he's being cheap by not wanting to pay a firm to do it.
Yeah, because when the on the website it says anyone that turns in a design will not get any money from this design, and they may just get a few free tickets to a game. That's it. That's all that Mark Cuban's going to give him.
And well, but even, they'll get recognition, too.
Yeah, but he
and
says...
if you were a graphics designer looking for a way to break your way into
yeah,
the
industry...
Yeah,
it's a great resume thing.
Yeah.
But anything you design, as soon as it's submitted to the website, becomes the intellectual property of Mark Cuban.
Well...
So, it's kind of weird thing to do, but it could work.
At least they aren't hiding that fact from you, I guess.
Yeah.
Those are the worst. It's like submit it and then later go, no, it was understood that I owned it. No.
Yeah.
At least he's telling you up front, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of a typical Mark Cuban move in that it's kind of annoying, kind of offensive, but at the same time, you can't deny that there's
that it could work, yeah.
And that there's a little bit of genius lurking in there. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I think the gear now is fine, but if they could... If they could come up with something fun that the fans would support, then, you know, sounds good to me.
Right. Well, you can go to blogmaverick.com and click on the link there if you want to submit your own design. We just wanted to go ahead and mention that. Now let's go on to
Let's come up with a design that incorporates the KETR logo.
Yeah, somehow fit that in.
Yeah.
Maybe a blue and gold alternate.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, let's move on to the final debate topic today. The debate over who should get the Sacramento Kings is still raging in the NBA and will until this decision is made by the league's Board of Governors. This meeting happens tomorrow in Dallas, actually. So who do you think should get the Kings, Sacramento or Seattle?
Yeah.
You just up in the air?
Yeah.
I kind of think the Kings should stay where they are.
Okay.
They're sort of the Arizona Cardinals of the NBA. They have a long history, but they've mm-hmm. bounced around from city to city. I think they started in Rochester, New York. They were in Cincinnati. When Kevin and I were growing up, they were the Kansas City Kings. They've been mm-hmm. in Sacramento for a while. It's like, I don't like the franchise moves. I think Seattle desperately deserves an NBA team,
mm-hmm.
but I think they should go the expansion route and let them have their own team and start it from the ground
now,
up.
Now, why did Seattle lose the Supersonics? They're the Thunder
right
now, right?
All
right. What was the deal there? They wouldn't build a stadium or something? So you look at this, and that's something they want to figure out. They wouldn't build a stadium. Well, then they don't get a team.
Well, that's how it's worked.
Yeah.
And the venue continues to be the issue up in Seattle. They've got an arena that isn't really top of the line arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a minor league hockey team playing there at Key Arena in Seattle. So I think that there's some big money up there that they're going to build an arena. It's probably going to house an NHL team and an NBA team. And I'd just kind of like for Seattle to just have its own team, let the Kings stay where they are. And don't move them to Anaheim. Just let them stay. Enough with the franchise moves already.
Right. Well, there's quite a lot going on with the Maloof family, who owns the Kings right now.
Okay.
They're threatening that if the NBA blocks the move to Seattle and the sale to the Seattle team, who's offering a little bit more money, except the only difference between them is the money difference. And the Sacramento group says that they won't take league sharing revenue from the league. So they're saying that they'll only have their own money, which for the league owners is great because then they don't have to give their money to the Kings.
I guess.
But that's the main difference is money. So there's really no other difference in the two bidding wars. But the Maloofs say if the Seattle group is blocked by the NBA relocation committee, then they will only sell 20% of the team, and they'll sell it to Seattle and then just sit on the rights until the NBA chooses to let Seattle have the team. So the Maloofs are kind of being, you know, jerks about this whole thing.
So they're, I guess, taking the hard stance.
Yes.
Drawing the line in the sand, as it were.
Yeah. So they're saying they'll sell 20% of the team to the Seattle group and refuse to sell the rest of their majority ownership because they own 65% right now. And the NBA wants the Maloofs gone because they're just a terrible ownership group. But anyway, that's what's going on right now. So that's just a quick update of the Seattle situation, and we'll see what happens
tomorrow. I think they should just move them to Mexico City.
Mexico City.
Well,
Mexico City Kings. It's about time Mexico had a team.
Reyes. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Well,
of course, then what would happen to all the San Antonio fans?
They're pretty loyal.
Yes. They're yes, and loyal. You should be if you are. You have a lot of reason to be loyal
to San Antonio. I bet you the Lakers are probably the biggest team in Mexico. Although, I don't know, maybe in northern Mexico, the Spurs perhaps. But I think the Maloofs need to be quarantined in Sacramento if they're going to be in the league at all. I would hate to see Seattle get mixed up with them. You know, Seattle sports fans have suffered, especially the NBA fans, obviously. So I would say just keep the Maloofs out of Seattle.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about going to do it for this first segment. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk NBA playoffs and the Rangers and maybe a little NHL playoffs like we promised Mark earlier. All right. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Know someone who has a car they no longer need? Maybe a student who's graduating college, an elderly relative who no longer drives, or a neighbor with a car that won't run? Do them and your station a favor by telling them about the KETR car donation program. We'll come pick it up and give them a tax receipt, and you'll both be helping your station continue to provide quality programming for the community. It's easy to do. Just remember the phone number, 855-KETR-123, and share it with others.
We're back with KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Kevin Jeffries, and Mark Hazlett here. Taylor Phelps and Ryan Phillips, as I said, are out of town. So, all right, guys, now it's time to get into the other part of the show, NBA playoffs. I know you guys aren't that comfortable with current NBA situations. You know a lot of the history. But just real quick, I wanted to sum up what's going on in the NBA playoffs right now.
Yeah, because your Spurs.
My Spurs are doing not the best. I'm a little freaked out right now.
They're going to win that series.
I hope so.
Yeah, they are.
Right now, they're tied with Golden State 2-2. Game 5 is tonight at 8:30, so it's something to look forward to for me. Even if the Spurs lose, I love watching their games. Diehard Spurs fan since I was 5 years old. So who do you guys think wins this series? It's a best-of-three series now. It's 2 games in San Antonio and 1 game in Golden State, in Oakland, if they managed to extend it to a full game series, a full 7-game series. So who do you think wins this series?
Oh, the Spurs. They're just a better team.
Okay.
I think the Spurs win, but I want to get into my hot sports opinion on this whole NBA playoffs thing anyway.
Okay.
Preach. Okay. Preach. Look, okay. I got two parts to this.
Okay.
The one involves that the NBA playoffs take too darn long.
Okay.
It's like an entire other season that you have to pay attention to. It's hard enough to pay attention to every game in the regular season and all the standings. You know, I'm a football fan through and through. Maybe I'm spoiled by the once a week game, and it's easy to keep up with and get geared up with and plan for. And then it seems like every other sport's just kind of random games. You walk in and go, what? It's Wednesday. There's a game tonight. Okay, so I understand that's a little curmudgeonly whatever, but it takes too long. These series are too long in the NBA.
Right.
Okay. They should play them quicker or whatever, but bottom line is, number two, the second part of this, there should not be a series in the NBA. There should not be a series of games in the NBA or the NHL, Mark. We'll talk about this.
Or the MLB?
No.
Okay.
Baseball is the only sport that should have a series for two reasons. One, it's a regular part of the season. A team comes to town and they have a 3-game series over the course of the weekend or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a regular part of the sport. And number two, you do not play the same team every night, because the most important player, many would say, and I agree, member of the team changes. You do not have the same pitcher. In the NBA, same five guys every time. Same five starters, basically, some guys off the bench. And maybe one of them steps up or whatever, but overall, same dudes. Hockey, same way, except the depth means a little more in hockey than it does in basketball. It's not a part of the regular season. It's not a part of the sport. But for some reason in, what is this, the second round of the playoffs now? For some reason, we need a seven-game series. And baseball plays their series fast. Mm-hmm. They get done. The playoffs are hard to get into. The series get played fast. And they aren't. It's nowhere near as long as it seems in the NBA, especially. The NHL a little shorter, but still a lot of the same problems. And that's my pet peeve. There should not be, and March Madness should prove, one and done is how people want it.
Okay. All right, well, that's a good rant.
sorry about that. So when you ask me about NBA playoffs, you know, and how everything's going, that is my first reaction if the Mavericks aren't in there, because I'm a Mavericks fan.
So is this where I come in with the boring NPR host, voice of reason, you know, dry?
You can try, but reason doesn't work well too well on me.
Yeah, we are talking sports. Yeah. I'll agree with you on the point of the NBA playoffs taking too long. There's too much spaces between the games. They do that for television ratings, obviously, so they can get the most TV revenue, and I understand why they're doing that. But it's insane. These seven-game series go on and on and on. It's ridiculous. So I do object to that. I think that having the series in the playoffs for NBA and NHL is fine. I enjoy some great history, some great games over the seasons, and you know, I know the playoffs in general in NBA and hockey go on too long. And, you know, we've had five-game series in the past. Makes things a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the five-game series, a lot of times that'd be the first-round series. But the whole reason why you have that first round in general is so that all the crappy teams can get some playoff revenue. So that you kind of want to have the seven-game for them so they at least get – you know, a couple, three home games in.
You could be like baseball and just not have the crappy teams in there in the first place.
Well, I appreciate that too. But again, it's all about revenue. The thing that I think would make this playoff absurdity less absurd would be if the regular season itself were not so incredibly
82
long.
Games long.
And it's just, I mean, it's insane. It's like they start playing when it's still hot and they finish playing when it's hot. And hockey's just as ridiculous. You know, I mean, when the Stars were in the Cup final in 99. You know, it's June in Dallas, and there was fog on the ice because it was so hot in Reunion Arena, and it's certainly not hockey weather. So I understand the objections to the playoffs. I think realistically, the only thing that you could do, shorten the regular season and definitely quit dragging out these series and only having games, you know, like on Wednesday and Saturday or whatever they've been doing.
All right, well, what do you guys think of the next series? The Heat lead the Bulls 3-1 after last night's 88-65 win. And the Bulls, in their seven wins in the playoffs so far, they've won by double digits each time. They only have the one loss to the Bulls in Game 1, which then they lost by a few points. So do you think the Bulls can win even one more game, or is this series over?
Bulls looked pretty awful last night. I didn't watch the game, but I read about it, and they seem to be pretty awful. I read Mike Rosenblum's column in the Chicago Tribune while we were waiting to come in here, and it seemed like they're flat. And yeah, I mean, they can always win one more game. You know, sometimes a team that's performing poorly can actually benefit from being on the road because you know, there's no expectations, and they're not, you know, that there's less mental hurdles getting in the way. A lot of times athletes find it easier to concentrate if they're not worried about, you know, being in front of the home fans and people expecting them to win or else. So they could win another game, but I certainly think Miami's going to win the series, and I probably think Miami's going to advance from the East.
Okay.
Miami's going to win the whole thing, yeah. The Bulls aren't going to win this. They came out, they got that one game in, and I think that was – and then the next game where they just got lambasted – killed any momentum they had coming from the season whatsoever. And then the controversy with Rose, is he back? Will it hurt the team? What's it going to do for chemistry, et cetera, et cetera? Whether there's any truth to the reality behind that, I think the distraction of it just killed them for the next game too. And that's it. They're done. They're done. Right. They're done.
What about Memphis and Oklahoma City? Memphis leads Oklahoma City 3-1 after last night's 103-97 victory in overtime. Now, I think the Thunder, if Russell Westbrook was still active and if he was still playing,
yeah.
it'd be over. Thunder would have won that series in five games, maybe. But
which
now,
is a shame. I mean, I don't really know why I like Oklahoma City. I think the closer a team is to where I live, I tend to like them more. And that goes against a lot of people, by the way, who big Mavs fans will hate the Spurs. Well, I like the Spurs. I kind of hate the Rockets, though. But so I guess that's my version of that. Well, that's Houston. Who likes Houston?
Yeah.
But so Oklahoma City, I guess, you know, they're kind of close. I'm not a big fan of Oklahoma in particular.
Yeah.
Parts of it, but overall, just my own personal thing. I'm not going to go into that because it's a little.
You're from Texas. No one's going to get freaked out about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone in Texas doesn't like Oklahoma.
But I don't know. There's something. I like Kevin Durant. I think that's what it is. I really like Kevin Durant. And Oklahoma City being a young team and doing very well and playing good games against the Mavericks. Enjoy the competition. It's been solid. And I would love to see them get revenge against, you know, and go back and win the title, take it from Miami. But this one, I don't know. I don't think Oklahoma's going to be able to pull this out.
Right. Well, how about this? Do you think the trade of James Harden to the Rockets, do you think that goes as one of the stupidest trades in the history of the NBA?
I thought it was pretty ridiculous. I did. I couldn't believe that you take this team that's a championship team and then you're going to take out one of the most important cogs of it.
Right.
Especially when in the NBA, more so than any other sport, another reason I don't think they should have series in the playoffs, but more than any other sport, one player makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. More than any other sport. In baseball, you can have a star pitcher, but he can't pitch every day.
Yeah.
You know, in hockey, you have Wayne Gretzky, but that's one line of three. You know, he can't skate the whole thing. And in football, you can have a quarterback, but if he's got no offensive line.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah.
You know, he either gets knocked out for the season, gets a concussion, or he runs around like a crazed man like Tony Romo. So in no other sport does one man have such an impact. So to take an integral part of your championship team and get rid of him, I thought was it was a crazy move.
Yeah, I don't know about history of the league because I'm not a big NBA history guy outside of the Mavs, but definitely a horrible trade for Oklahoma City.
Right. All right, well, let's finish up this NBA discussion with the Pacers. They're up on the Knicks 2-1. Game 4 is tonight at 6 p.m., so make sure to turn in for that. It's going to be some good basketball. Knicks or Pacers, who do you think is going to win the series?
Is Spike Lee cheering for the Pacers?
So I was about to say, I saw the documentary or whatever recently on the Pacers-Knicks rivalry.
That was a fantastic rivalry in the mid-90s.
It was a great special, too. It was awesome.
I'd have to go with New York on this one just for completely amateurish reasons, not an informed opinion at all. I just kind of, New York teams just have a way of winning.
Okay.
Unless you're the Islanders or something. So
or the Knicks.
Well, yeah.
Or the Mets.
Well, okay, no. You're just going to keep on putting.
Or the Jets.
You're going to keep on putting asterisks on this thing until, you know, it looks like my cat's been sitting on the keyboard or something. So, all right. So you're shooting down my New York mystique theory, but I'm still going with the Knicks again.
Okay.
I'm going with the Pacers because I don't like the Knicks.
Yeah,
I hate the Knicks.
If they actually called them the Knickerbockers still, I might go, oh, neat. And if they wore like the special uniforms, I'm like, oh, that's funny. And then I would watch them because it'd be ridiculous. Other than that, no, done.
All right. Well, I think the Pacers.
I'm going for the
win.
Pacers.
Yeah. All right. Well, that means it'll be the Spurs and Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals and the Heat Pacers in the East. And then we'll see what happens after that. Now, we got to get very quickly to NHL and Rangers talk because we don't have much time left in this show. So first, Mark, let's get your hockey talk in.
Well, I don't want to bore the entire Northeast Texas listening area. I don't know how many huge hockey fans we have here. So
probably
let me
two.
Just, yeah, well, let me
I
just
like hockey.
And the other guy already knows. So why am I talking? Well, hey, let me just presume that we've got sports fans listening who might not be big hockey fans, but thinking, well, maybe I'll check out and see what's going on now that it's Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, we've got the final. We're down to eight teams left right now. In the West, we've got Chicago and Detroit are going to be playing, and that should be a great series. The Blackhawks dominated during the regular season, but the games were very
made history.
But the games were close.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the series with Detroit, actually. Okay. But they did, actually. The Hawks did finish with the best regular season record as well. But during the season series between Chicago and Detroit, the Blackhawks did very well, but the games were all very competitive games. Mm-hmm. So it should be a great series. I think Chicago will win. Also, the other series you got over in the West, you've got the California battle with the Kings and the Sharks. Should be a great series. I don't have a prediction on that one. I do think Chicago...
I hate them both.
Yeah, I don't like the Kings or the Sharks, but I think Chicago will probably come out of the West. Over in the East, Pittsburgh dispatched the Islanders. They now face Ottawa. They should be able to bump them without too much trouble. Should be a fantastic series between Boston and the Rangers, another matchup of two of the NHL's oldest and proudest franchises, mm-hmm. and Bruins. Probably win that one. They seem to have what it takes to win. They had an incredible comeback last night.
Yeah,
they were
down 4-1.
Down 4-1, and they came back and tied it and won it in overtime. So I think we could see either Pittsburgh or Boston face Chicago in the finals. And so all I'd say, if you're a sports fan out there and you know, you're interested in hockey, I would say watch one of these playoffs games, because they're going to be fantastic. Playoff hockey is it's kind of its own thing. It's one of the best spectacles in sports, a playoff NHL game.
And right. It can be intense. I remember when the Stars, that's when I started becoming a hockey fan, as most people in this area, when the Stars won the Stanley Cup, and staying up to watch those Stanley Cup games, Brett Hull winning at 3 a.m, you know, icing it, getting in there to skate in the, it was incredible. I was up with my brother 2 a.m, we're sitting there screaming and yelling like we would over any, you know, Super Bowl or whatever. Yeah, it was good. Hockey is a fun game to watch.
And if some of y'all haven't watched hockey since that 1999 season, I should let you know that the rules have changed. The game's a lot more open up now.
Okay.
It's faster. There's not as much defense. There's a bit more offense that the casual fan would appreciate.
Okay. Well, let's end the show real quick, because we don't have very much time at all, with Rangers talk. Now, Colby Lewis has been out for the season. He had surgery last July on his pitching elbow to repair a torn flexor tendon, and he was supposed to come back and do a rehab start next week. Now, he played one game for the Round Rock,
Express.
Express, yeah, Round Rock Express in Las Vegas. And after the game, he had some mild triceps tendonitis in his non-throwing arm. So they're treating that. So now he's been delayed for a week.
Wow.
So what do you think of Colby Lewis?
I think the Rangers got smacked in the face with a baseball bat with all the pitchers going down last mm-hmm. season. It was such a huge deal. So I'll take all the caution we can get with Colby. We're playing well enough, winning enough games right now without
him. We're in first overall.
Yeah, so we need him to be better. So I no rush at all on Colby. No rush at all.
Right. Yeah, I mean, connective tissue injuries just take a real long time to mm-hmm. heal. You know, whenever you're talking about tendons, ligaments, there's not a lot of circulation in those tissues. On a cellular level, the metabolism is slower. Mm-hmm. So just healing just takes a long time. You just cannot force it. I mean, you can accelerate it with, you know, drugs or whatever, but I mean, you can't completely change the way the human body works. So I say let him stay out as long as possible, because mm-hmm. like y'all mentioned, the Rangers are doing fine.
Okay. And then the other thing I really wanted to mention about the Rangers is Nolan Ryan talks about him staying with the team has come up again because the Astros just fired their CEO. So there's talk about him going to the Astros. Now, he was on Randy Galloway's show, I think yesterday, and said...
Okay.
He said specifically, I don't think that I'd be going there. And he said, no, I'm sure they'll fill it with the right person, when they asked him 2 times about becoming the Astros CEO. We heard in the offseason there's all this stuff about John Daniels becoming the president and taking away a lot of Nolan Ryan's responsibilities. But Nolan didn't say anything about it. He didn't say whether or not there was a rift between the two. And he decided to stay up until this thing that's going on. So now, what do you think? Do you think he goes from the best team in baseball to the worst team in baseball?
I don't know. It's sad that there's so much controversy around this. Mm-hmm. Nolan Ryan, he's got a freaking statue at the ballpark. Come on. You got to keep him around no matter what. There were some rumors that Nolan was actually the one leaking all those stories about John Daniel and this power coming out. So I don't know if it's some sort of posturing, some power struggle, internal power struggle that's going on. But if Nolan Ryan doesn't stay with the Rangers, it'll be a shame and it'll break my heart personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm actually a minority among Rangers fans. I don't really like Nolan Ryan.
Okay.
But at the same
time. Blasphemy!
You know, he was an Angel, and then he was an Astro. I mean,
and a Yankee at one point.
And a Met, rather.
Met, excuse me.
Yeah. But and he won a World Series with the Mets.
Yeah.
But he got his
ring. Hey, Pudge got his ring with the Marlins. So
right. But I think the whole Nolan Ryan, I mean, I think his significance to the club as an executive and helping the team develop is all the credit he receives on that is well deserved. Yeah, I bristle at people overstating his playing legacy here because he was only here 5 years at the back end of his career. I knew he threw a couple of historic no hitters, but I mean the Rangers never sniffed the postseason the whole time he was there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but the first of all, what you said about what he's done now, proof is in the pudding, and from a objective standpoint, to get rid of him after he has done all this good for the team would be kind of ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, I agree on that part.
But as far as his significance to the team, I think when you have a team that was traditionally so horrible and hard to watch, that having Nolan Ryan, that's like you look at your first 30 years of history, and that's one of the few bright spots that you have. Mm-hmm. They actually got people to go watch football, got people to care about the Rangers, and I think that's why he's such a huge folk hero, and I like it. It's fine.
Well, sounds good to me. I understand your point. I mean, we hadn't had much in the way of pitching before that. I mean, the last pitcher who threw that hard that made people want to come out and see games in Arlington before him was Fergie Jenkins. So, you know, he was definitely overdue as far as having somebody who can throw the ball hard and get people excited about watching Rangers.
All right, Cooper, I know we're about to wrap it up, but if I get to do the show again, I have a hot sports question. It's sort of a fantasy sports question that I would like to visit. The topic being, if you could choose any time and to go past and witness a single sporting event live, what would that sporting event be? I'd like to talk about that. And if I don't get to, I'd like y'all to talk about it and hear your opinions.
That'll be a good question. We'll be back on Friday. The show will come out at 5 o'clock on Friday. We hope to have at least one of the normal hosts back, but we'll see what we can do. Maybe have a 4 or 5-person show in the next few weeks. We'll see what happens.
We're going to have a party.
Yeah.
I think you got to give the veterans another another start.
Right. Well, we'll just have a party on the radio.
All right.
Now that we've made basketball predictions.
Yeah.
Boy, Las Vegas, I mean, they're already having to change all their lines based on
definitely.
What Kevin and I
that's
said.
Right.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back, as I said, on Friday. I'm Cooper Welch. Kevin Jeffries is here with us as well, and Mark Hazlett. This is KETR's Locker Room.